Newly unsealed court documents in a lawsuit against the drug maker Purdue Pharma offer new insight into the company's aggressive effort to market its opioid, OxyContin. Nearly 400,000 people have died in the U.S. opioid crisis over the past few decades, and the manufacturers of the drugs have come under increasing legal pressure to take responsibility for the way they pitch their products to doctors and patients. Casey Ross is a reporter for STAT, the health and medicine publication that fought to get those documents unsealed. Casey, welcome.
Thanks for having me on.
And many of these documents are from the 1990s and include emails from Richard Sackler, the top executive whose family controls the company. What have you learned from them?
Well, what we learned was that in 1997, very soon after OxyContin's release into the market, Dr. Richard Sackler became aware of abuse concerns that were being raised by a large pharmacy benefit management company related to OxyContin, the use of OxyContin specifically in chronic pain patients. And Dr. Sackler at the time urged executives to aggressively push back against those concerns. Specifically, he urged executives to consider giving a presentation that controlled-release products like OxyContin are less prone to addiction potential abuse or diversion than other opioid pain pills. And there wasn't any evidence at the time or since then that that's the case.
Well, one of the big revelations to my mind was that in the early 1990s, Purdue had enrolled 133 elderly patients in a clinical study of the drug. Only 63 of those people completed the trial. And according to these documents, 82% of the patients had adverse side effects from OxyContin. How did the company handle that?
Yeah, this was a study that Purdue relied upon in part to make the case that it could market the product to chronic pain patients. Purdue concluded that the study demonstrated that controlled-release oxycodone, as in OxyContin, is safe and effective for the control of osteoarthritis pain. And in a plea agreement, in a statement of facts that was later reached in a settlement with Purdue, Purdue acknowledged that it used the osteoarthritis study to make claims in part that the patients who used the drug were less subject to withdrawal symptoms, which was found to be a deceptive marketing practice.
And just to be clear, it was very important for the company at the time to move into this pain management phase outside of what it had traditionally been doing and using the drug for cancer treatment, correct?
Yeah, that was a huge part of the marketing push. Was executives said over and over again in the documents that we reviewed that in order to make OxyContin a success, they had to reach out to chronic pain patients and get the product prescribed to that very large group of people.
And so the marketing campaign went forward full scale. What do these documents tell us about how the company went about doing that, getting this drug to doctors and to the public?
Well, it shows that they created a very aggressive marketing campaign that Dr. Richard Sackler was involved in creating along with other executives at the company to market the product to chronic pain patients and say that, you know, this was the drug that was going to alleviate their concerns and lead to effective treatment of those patients. You know, what we now know is that many decades later, abuse and addiction became a significant problem within the population of patients that were treated, and unfortunately, a lot of people ended up overdosing and dying. And
this did happen many years ago. We see that in the late 1990s, a sales rep told the company that they were hearing concerns from doctors that people were mainlining the drug and that it was becoming a street drug. What is the company and the Sackler family saying about all this, these new documents that are out now?
Well, they're saying in relation to the document, which we cited at the top of the story, that Richard Sackler became aware of abuse concerns and urged a presentation, you know, to counteract those concerns. They're saying, look, he was just making a suggestion. And in his deposition in 2015 in Kentucky, Dr. Sackler said he didn't know that any such presentation was ever given, but he didn't quite remember how it turned out.
Mm. And just remind me, where do we stand with the settlements and the lawsuits against this company and many of the other drug manufacturers?
Well, two dozen states and thousands of cities around the country are opposing a settlement with the Sackler family on the basis that they don't believe the family is being held financially responsible enough for its role in the harm that's been caused across the country. So we'll have to see how that ends out.
In September, the company offered to settle for $12 billion, but it sounds like you're saying that's not enough, according to the plaintiffs in the case.
Yeah, they're basically saying that statement offered does not include enough of the profits that the Sackler family derived from the drug. They've received about $12 to $13 billion in profits from Purdue. They would eventually pay the plaintiffs about $3 billion. They'd give up control of Purdue and file for bankruptcy. But a lot of the plaintiffs are saying, look, the family is still deriving really substantial profits from the sale of the product, and they believe that they need to give up more of that.
That's Casey Ross with our partners at STAT, the health and medicine publication. Casey, thanks very much.
That's my pleasure.